folks, and welcome to The Farm, a podcast dedicated to culture, parapolitics, and high weirdness in all its many forms. This is your host, Recluse, aka Stephen Snyder, the longtime curator of the Visit blog and author of A Special Relationship, Trump, Epstein, and the Secret History of the Anglo-American Establishment. As this is our Patreon section, I assume you guys know the drills now as far as the websites go. I probably surmise that it's just me in on this outing here. But yes, I decided to open this one up to all Patreons for a couple of reasons. But the first and foremost one is because I wanted to extend a big and heartfelt thank you to each and every one of you and let you know how much I appreciate all of you, even though I probably don't always do the best job of expressing this, given the tardiness of some of my responses to you and actions taken, which I am profoundly sorry for, and will hopefully only continue to do a better job at going forward. I don't want to really bog you guys down with a lot of details and so forth, because I know that's not what you pay for, but it's a lot of work doing this, especially for the last 6 or 7 years to keep all this going. I've probably been working 60 hours a week the entire time, a lot of time on 5 or 6 hours of sleep or less a night. And needless to say, that's taken quite a physical toll on me after so many years of this. So it was definitely kind of coming to an impasse, but thanks to TrueAnon and any number of other individuals who have helped me along the way, most notably Christopher Knowles of The Secret Sun, Greg Carlwood of the Higher Side Chance, Alex Akaris of Skeptico, Jason Horsley, formerly of Onaculture, Hank Alparelia, obviously. Gosh, there's probably Adam and Sergio from Conspiranormal. There's just so many of you out there. I'm sorry. John Brisson, one of the best friends I've ever had, Keith Allen Dennis, and just so many people who have helped with this. But the point I was trying to make here before this gets too mushy is that it's finally gotten to the point where there's some relief. It's looking like coming ahead, and I will not be kind of slowly killing myself, hopefully, going forward. So anyway, and again, obviously, you subscribers are also a crucial aspect of all of that. And again, I cannot thank you guys enough. This is absolutely a dream come true for me. All my life, I really just kind of wanted to do something where I felt like I was making a positive contribution to the world. And when I started blogging many years ago, that kind of seemed like the thing for me. Gradually, it's grown into some of these other things like podcasts and writing books and so forth. But it's always been part of my desire, basically, just to do something that hopefully is having a positive impact on society at large and have that be what I do, for a living. And I think I'm going to get the chance to do that. And I am going to be eternally grateful to all the individuals who helped me along the way and each and every one of you who has chosen to sign up here. I can't express that enough. And again, I'm sorry that I don't always do the best at moderating the boards and all this other stuff, but I will, again, continue to try to up my game, as always, for all of you. So, yes. And also, too, I mean, I know I've gotten a lot of new people to sign up here in the last couple of weeks, and I also want to thank each and every one of you for staying with me. I know that The Farm is a challenging podcast. Hopefully the production values have started to increase a little bit and will continue to in the future, as I'm not a tech guy, as you may have guessed by now. Gradually learning this, and hopefully it will be smoother. But more to the point, I know that in terms of some of the guests and the topics, we can be kind of all over the place. But I actually do have a reason for that. It's something that I actually learned from Robert Anton Wilson, or it came from Aleister Crowley by way of Robert Anton Wilson, but it's actually a good piece of advice, trust me. But more or less, per Raw, Crowley had suggested reading one piece of material every day by somebody you absolutely cannot stand, whose viewpoints that you absolutely despise. Go through the process of reading this article mentally and then mentally debunk it. And the reason being for this is so that your beliefs were being challenged on a daily basis. This gave you a chance to reinforce your beliefs, to understand how to defend them, but also occasionally you might find something where there was a good point in there. And that's kind of the other dual purpose. If you only ever, read things or watch or listen to things that reinforce your pre-existing opinions of things, you kind of inadvertently put yourself in an echo chamber. So occasionally hearing things that are outside of, the viewpoints you would normally be searching for can be highly beneficial. And again, I'm not saying, that you need to agree with every guest. God knows I don't. or that you need to open yourself up to, hateful ideology or anything of that nature. Certainly not. But I do think that maybe in this day and age too much, we don't try enough to understand the other side's perspective. And all these things are worthwhile when it comes to, looking at opinions that you don't agree with. And the same thing applies to the topics. Again, I do a lot with parapolitics. I do a lot with high weirdness. There's a lot of culture stuff here with movies and shows. I know it can kind of seem all over the place at times. But again, part of the reason why I do this is, well, A, I have a wide range of interests. And B, I'm trying to open you guys up again to a lot of different concepts and so forth. And once, you don't have to believe in all this stuff. I know a lot of the people coming here for the parapolitics aren't as into the woo-woo stuff and vice versa. But again, I think it does provide some interesting context in both cases to the figures that we look at and so forth. And hopefully, again, it introduces you to a different perspective that you weren't aware of. Because that's really sort of one of my major goals when I had always started this, is I just wanted people to kind of think differently, not necessarily, try to reorient their worldview towards one political ideology or other. I just wanted them to realize, though, that the world is a much broader and more diverse place than they might have realized. So again, I know that there have been guests that some of you have really vehemently disagreed with, but you've stuck with me. And again, I probably agreed with maybe 50% or less of what they had to say as well. But, I like a good challenge, and I hope you guys do too. So again, I appreciate you guys. And, there is a method to my madness with some of this, in case you were wondering. And hopefully, in the long run, we will all emerge as better people and more wise and knowledgeable ones as to, just all the things that are going on out there in the world and all the different possibilities. One of the things that I had recently gotten into in the 7th installment of the International Fascism series, or excuse me, the 8th installment, was just that, the world is a different place now. I think the digital revolution was probably the most significant since the Industrial Revolution, going back to the 16th, 17th century. And again, when that happened, it necessitated entirely different ways of thinking, living, and so forth. And we're in a similar situation now. And I think, again, a big part of the problem is that there's a lack of imagination out there. And that stems from the fact that we're still looking at paradigms that were based on the Industrial Revolution, be it something like communism or capitalism or fascism and what have you. And it's not to say that we shouldn't understand these ideologies and criticize them and so forth, or try to, whatever. But I don't know that ultimately any of them really appeal to where we're going at the end of the day. This is kind of a post era of a lot of stuff. So again, this is another reason why I think we have to kind of start some, thinking outside the box, looking at things differently, because it is a different reality that we're living in. And it's not just the sort of, capitalist worldview that's dominated a lot of Western culture. And then by default, the world for much of the modern era that's breaking down. You also have the decline of Westphalian peace, the nation state that goes with it. The sort of UN fever dreams are obviously not playing out. You're also seeing the collapse of a lot of major political bodies, which we'll get to. So yeah, it's an interesting time in the Chinese sense, and we have to start thinking of different ways really to deal with all these new interests. So hopefully we maybe we can come up with something. But you can only start the process by first trying to work your way out of the old framework. Well, anyway, that's probably enough musings for me. I'm not good at this kind of stuff, so yeah, hopefully this was not too tedious for everybody listening. So with that, let's get on to the world that we are currently living in. I wanted to go over a couple of topics here right quick with you. Obviously, we're gonna get into the stuff with Taiwan here. But yeah, we got some other things on here, especially the collapse of the Western Alliance that's unfolding before our eyes, a little bit of an update on 2022 elections, and maybe a little woo-woo to wrap things up with. But anyway, on that note, kids, let's start the show. As I'm sure many of you are aware by now, Nancy Pelosi has conducted her two-day visit in Taiwan. The world did not end, and thank God for that. It was very intense, though, and it is still extremely intense. Well, Pelosi was able to land and spend 2 days there without any incident. She did depart rather soon. And subsequently, after that, there has been a lot of activity from the People's Republic of China, or the PRC. Yeah, so they have, let's see, they issued an alert telling commercial airlines to avoid airspaces near Taiwan as they have kicked off a massive military drill that has essentially surrounded the island, or at least that's the claims. From 12 miles off the, what is considered the territorial waters of Taiwan. So yeah, I mean, it's a massive amount of ships, something like 48 Chinese aircraft carriers. It's like fighter jets. They've been out there buzzing around. And yes, they've even fired some missiles, I believe, that went over Taiwan. So yeah, the Chinese are taking this very seriously. Again, whether or not this is actually a full-blown naval blockade, or whether it's being over-exaggerated by the Western allies, we don't really know. But certainly, the Chinese are making a good show of this. Yeah, I mean, this is just absolutely a terrifying situation, especially with the fact that there are also U.S. warships in the region now as well. Most notably, there is the USS Reagan Strike Group, along with the USS Triopia and the USS America, who have quickly approaching Taiwan. The last two are amphibious assault groups also, which is interesting. Probably a lot of Marines and stuff if they had to suddenly start storming the island. But yeah, you've got a considerable amount of Chinese ships there. Potentially blockading, or at least some illusion of a blockade of Taiwan. You've got a lot of, or not a lot, but you've got a couple of US cruisers there coming in. So, in a sense, I mean, this almost could be construed as another Bay of Pigs type incident. I mean, considering how things go, but, this definitely bears a lot of vigilance. Because, I mean, if the PRC, I don't think that this would, you know, really constitute an actual blockade. I mean, as far as I know, they're not preventing ships really from passing in at this point or anything to that effect. But if it does become a full-blown blockade, I mean, this is basically going to be a reverse of the Bay of Pigs, with the US, role of the Russians now probably trying to send attack carriers there. Certainly, a lot of this is interesting in light of the most recent public show that we did on the farm here on Shinzo Abe's assassination in Japan. Obviously, one of the views that was expressed there was the type is that the United States is looking for a significant beachhead for our Pacific operations against the PRC going forward. Most likely one would be Japan, which is possibly a factor behind Abe's assassination, so they can kind of expedite that process of remilitarizing Japan and setting it up for the ongoing struggle in the Pacific. This is partly because Taiwan, you know, really, despite a lot of the rhetoric, the kind of consensus and the actual Pacific is that Taiwan does not want to be the base of operations for a lot of this stuff. And again, this seems to be pretty in keeping with their historic relationship with the PRC. I mean, again, they call each other a lot of names, but there is evidence of collaboration between the regimes, especially when it comes to drug trafficking. I mean, the Taiwanese regime has been implicated in that, you know, for years. I don't know if they still are, but really from, I mean, practically the founding of Taiwan up through at least the 70s, if not 80s, the regime was deeply implicated in the heroin trade in Southeast Asia. For a lot of years, the PRC was accused of that. They were involved in it, but not to the extent that US allies and the US tried to make it seem like. And there is also evidence that both the PRC and the government of Taiwan were collaborating at times in this. So yeah, it's complicated, and I think for a variety of reasons like that, you know, Taiwan probably wants to keep its options open. Another candidate would be South Korea, but that is surely not going to happen as much as the US may want it to be. In fact, it's rather sad actually. After departing from Taiwan, Nancy Pelosi then went to Korea, South Korea, obviously. Where she was in an embarrassing situation, because I believe both the prime minister and the vice prime minister, or something to that effect, were on vacation or something like that. So yeah, the South Koreans didn't even, you know, want to receive her essentially after this yeah, debacle here. Yeah, the president of South Korea and the country's foreign minister were both on vacation. The president was on vacation and the other was in Cambodia and had no desire to meet with her after she had returned from Taiwan. And yes, again, you know, if you listen to the Abe assassination, there were discussions about how the US is viewed in South Korea. It is not rosy. A lot of ways, both the South and North Koreans would be just as likely to combine to combat the United States, actually more likely than for the South Koreans to throw down with the US against North Korea and certainly China. The fact that the president and the foreign minister won't even meet with Pelosi in a country in which we have tons of troops garrisoned is an interesting sign about where they view the US's ability to contain China on the one hand, and also, arguably, the US's diminishing status in the Pacific and a lot of the rest of the world, to put it mildly. So, yeah, this has just been an utter disaster. I mean, we did, I suppose, force China to blink in the sense that they allowed Pelosi to actually touch down, but for this sad little symbolic gesture, it would appear that she's further alienated any of the real allies we have in the Pacific. And yeah, had maybe pushed the Chinese into more hasty measures than they were already considering. So yeah, kind of surprised they I don't know, well, I shouldn't say surprised because she still has the return trip. I mean, maybe they have that mission accomplished banner that Bush too flew in 2005 over the USS aircraft carrier when he flew the plane back to celebrate the victory in Iraq. Maybe we could put that on the USS Reagan as Pelosi, after Pelosi returns to the States. Seems like it would be really fitting what she was out there to do. Anyway, is only, just a further evidence of the ongoing dysfunction of the US and its ruling body. I mean, again, if you haven't been keeping track of this, Joe Biden is rapidly approaching historic lows in terms of popular support amongst the public. I mean, really, he's already at Trumpian levels, which should, which is not entirely surprising, but yeah, you can't be feeling good about that if you're an establishment Democrat right now. And well, we'll get to some of the other stuff in the US in a moment, but it's definitely not just the US. I mean, you're seeing governments in Europe collapse, obviously. Bojo just went down in the UK. And then conversely, in Italy, you've seen another government collapse. And it also looks like that this is potentially going to lead to the rise of a Eurosceptic government coming in Italy. The Five Star Movement is once again gaining steam there, along with the League, or excuse me, the Forza Italia. I'm not entirely sure how that's pronounced, but yeah, it's once again, I mean, it's looking very strongly like you're going to get a Eurosceptic movement going into power in Italy in September, assuming that they allow the elections to unfold, of course. And I mean, certainly, Davos is going to be going all out to try and put some kind of establishment candidate in there. But yeah, I don't know how well they're going to be managing that with a lot of the other factors playing out in Europe right now. Essentially, again, if you haven't been following this, but the EU is already basically putting its member states on notice of gas shortages for the winter. They're already starting to ration oil. The situation in Germany is especially grim, and you've already got refineries there that are teetering on collapse and a lot of other things like that, economic collapse. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that the changes in government that we've kind of seen suddenly here in the UK or Italy are the end of this. I suspect that it's only going to continue to get worse here as we go forward. I mean, Europe especially, I mean, as summer starts to give way to fall and eventually winter, and I mean, it starts to get cold. I mean, it's, if they're already having energy issues now with the record-setting summer in some regions, you can only imagine what's going to happen if there's a harsh winter that unfolds this year. So, or probably mostly next year, but you guys get the point. So yeah, you could start seeing governments in Europe dropping like flies very suddenly over some of the stuff that's currently unfolding. And I mean, you're also seeing this happening outside of Europe. I mean, in other regimes, theoretically part of the Western alliance to contain Russia. Argentina is another one where the government is currently collapsing. I mean, 22 million Argentinians are dependent on subsidies now, and I mean, they're just now starting to chop a lot of stuff. More austerity measures, more, to kind of free up things for another IMF bailout, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, it's just insane. The inflation rate, I mean, is possibly at almost 58%, 60 maybe. The unemployment is staggering there. It's definitely already been in bad shape, and it's only going to get worse. This is, another one of the, oh yeah, national employment rate was only at 43%. So yeah, I mean, it's again, like a lot of places in the Western Front, the sanctions that were supposed to cripple Russia seem to have done quite a considerable, seem to have done a much better job at crippling a lot of US allies and angering other ones. To be observed there. I mean, obviously, Russians have taken some blows from this too, but maybe not to the extend some other Western nations and the vassals in the other parts of the world have, to put it mildly. And that's also led, I think, increasingly to fracturing in the Western alliance too. I mean, we've already seen Turkey kind of like trying to play a dual game here a little bit. Hungary is another one with Orban. Again, Danny Weil, the great Danny Weil, is another guy who's helped me a lot. Thank you so much, Danny. I apologize I didn't give him a shout out at the beginning. Danny did a great job of breaking down the situation in Ukraine with Orban, who's really at the forefront of a lot of the far right now. And I mean, he's already talking when peace talks with the US and Russia to end the war in Ukraine, and specifically he's trying to work his way out of the sanctions. So, you're already kind of getting a situation where, I mean, states within the EU are looking for outs and sanctions. I mean, certainly Hungary is not the only one who's quietly been working towards an alternative to the sanctions that the US and the UK and many of the other sort of leading Western nations had opposed immediately. I mean, but honestly, even France and a few of the other ones, I think, are also starting to become very concerned. And again, when you look at just the geopolitical situation in Europe, especially Western Europe, I mean, they already were experiencing tons of protests and so forth over the last decade. I mean, France had like the Yellow Vest movement notoriously. Just to give one example, there was a lot of populist anger that's been building up there and a lot of other nations for a number of years now. It's, certainly only grown more intense in the last 3 years or so. And I mean, you start throwing the sanctions in as well, where I mean, people are potentially going to be freezing, they're going hungry. Yeah, I mean, it's just a massive powder keg. I mean, things could obviously be quite bad in the United States as well, but I mean, Europe, I mean, they do not have remotely as strong of an economy as we do here in the United States. They don't have the natural resources. That's just, I mean, it could just be a winner there, the likes of which we have not seen in a very long time. Just leave it at that. So yes, things are not looking good around the world, or at least the Western allies and the regimes. And the same could be said here in the United States. Again, I've been talking about how there seems to be a kind of stealth civil war going on right now. Within the Republican Party, where you're seeing a concerted effort to really drum out a lot of the anti-Trump figures from the party and make it into the full-blown kind of alt-right party. Trump himself is doing a part in all of this in the primaries, along with some of our favorite people like Peter Thiel and obviously Q the QAnon crowd. And it's paying dividends. Trump-backed candidates have won Republican primary contests on Tuesday in Arizona, Michigan, and Kansas. I mean, they're not going to win all of them, guys, but they're definitely, making a lot of strides here. Blake Masters was also connected to Peter Thiel as well. That was like one of his big ones right there. I haven't had a chance to look into some more of these, but I'm guessing you probably also have a few other guys in these victories who got a little funding from Thiel as well, in addition to the support from Trump. You see a TV journalist like Carrie Lake come roaring back in Arizona, defeating a Mike Pence-backed candidate in Karen Taylor Robinson for the governor primaries. So yeah, it's certainly shaping up like 2022 and especially 2024 are going to be probably among the most surreal elections not ever witnessed, not just in US history, because we've already seen a lot of surreal elections, especially in the last few years, but possibly in the history of the world. I mean, these are just going to be utterly insane on so many levels with some of the candidates that are being rolled out. And then on top of that, on the other side, you have a Democratic Party where, as I said before, is being headed by a individual who has a very, very strong chance of being remembered as the worst president in the history of this country, who's in the midst of, or at least widely believed in to be in the midst of coin failure, in which his own party is already rapidly trying to draw up plans to get him out of office. Again, I had asked a lot of people at the onset of 2022 if they thought Biden survived the year. I mean, it was pretty much unanimous he would, but I mean, even now that doesn't look as certain. I could definitely see some kind of announcement coming out that he's opted to retire or something like that before the midterms or afterwards. I mean, who really knows? But I mean, obviously, you've seen a lot more criticism directed at Biden. I mean, even from a lot of liberal publications, or should say neoliberal publications, in recent weeks. There's been, added concerns about his health with his battles with COVID. The alleged slip where he said that he had cancer. Obviously, he could also opt to potentially step down because of some kind of as yet addressed health problem. And again, I don't think anybody would really think too much about that. But yeah, there's a lot of reasons why the next two elections in the United States are going to be very colorful, to put it mildly. All right, so I guess we'll wrap up here with just a little bit of woo-woo. July 29th, the Earth started spinning faster than ever before, and scientists don't know why. That was interesting. Weren't a lot of significant events on the 27th, but, or yes, June 29th. So, yeah, the Earth apparently has started to spin faster, which is interesting in light of all the other stuff that's going on right now. And it came close again to reaching the incredible spin rate that it had on the 29th on July 26th. So yeah, it's definitely interesting, and it's getting to the point that we recorded the shortest day since atomic clocks began to be used to measure the rotation. So that's just amazing. And eventually we might have to start resetting this stuff more regularly, apparently. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of an interesting dynamic to all of this. I mean, I've definitely felt like time is speeding up and that there's less of it. I know a lot of other people feel like that. I mean, some argue it's just because as you get older, it seems like you have less time. But I mean, apparently, there is some kind of basis for the notion that things are slowing down a bit or speeding up. And I don't know what that necessarily means on the grand scheme of things, but it does seem to be just another aspect of the interesting times that we are living through right now. All right, guys. Well, I suppose on that note, I should probably sign off for now. Once again, I want to profoundly thank every one of you from the bottom of my heart for all of your support and help over the years. If I forgot to give you a shout out or something, again, I apologize. And again, I apologize for the tardiness of my responses and all the other issues possibly coming with moderating these various things and so forth. But I will always strive to do a better job and to hopefully give you guys the best possible shows and other content that I possibly can. And I hope that you will continue to also give me the benefit of the doubt. And I will, again, that's up to me. And now that I'm feeling better and hopefully having more time, the content will only continue to improve. So hopefully we both win. And with that, I say to you guys, as always, good night and good luck to you all.
Come on, baby, pick me up. Out here in my wiki up. Sick and tired of fucking up. Sick and tired of pushing luck. Voodoo blue got juice in it. Swallow what I'm about to spit. Done got 86 from the copper queen for singing this. I took it to the gold chain. We were ready, my people there, they're feeling me. Download Skid Row, more characters than Stephen King. Said I'm just working at the quarry, y'all. I ain't in a hurry, y'all. Come on, baby, pick me up. Out here in my wiki up. Stuck down in this stick. Hut is hot as hell, I tell you what. Put it up and knock it down. Moving on that big around. Come on, mama, jump down. Turn around, do it for me. Stick it out. Say 1, 2, 3, Geronimo. Jump, baby, we gotta go. Hands tied, blindfold. Jump into that battle zone. I said it's time to get the fuck out. Cause they done let the wolves out. They're coming with that heat, mama, shooting up the street. Mama, fight or flight, adrenaline. You feel that little tingle in your feet. Mama, no retreat, mobilize your whole fleet. Hit the street, tell me that you good for it. You want peace, go to war for it. screaming with me, scream Geronimo. Hands tied blindfold, jump into that battle zone. Come on baby, pick me up, out here in my wiki up. Got y'all on some Aztec bullshit, never getting used to it. Got bales of weed and catapults with Santa Muerte diffused in it. Shoot it over the castle wall, the Migra can't patrol it. Off from Berlin to the Great Wall, the greatest walls are bound to fall. So legalize it, Vato, about a Genghis Chapo. Come on, legalize it, no need to advertise it. The weed cures the cancer, everybody, even Carter realized it. But pharma don't make cash money when we rock that stash, honey. Best believe they sooner take it out your ass, Sunday. Come on, the man ain't getting wealthy with people getting healthy, right? Talking about high AZ, talking about that BMC. We got no economy if we ain't got no enemy. The Popo and the BP, DHS and Army, Honeywell and L3, razor wires, UAVs. Officer, excuse me, please. Said I'm just eating my burrito, not the droids you're looking for. See you all on payday, see you at the Safeway. Bisbee lives on crazy checks, BP on that fast pay. I sing my hooli blues, y'all. I don't make the rules, y'all. Just paying my dues, y'all. But I'm just saying, sorry hippies. If Great White Father don't make payroll, forget about your maypole.